It's good to see so many here tonight, and that singing was terrific. Yeah, you never know what a day brings forth. They likely told you that we were expecting Dennis Purcell, and we got an email here when the meeting started. He wasn't coming, so I had prepared some thoughts for the 25th of July in the morning. And so I'm going to share those with you tonight. This morning, Jack Hobius spoke on worship, and he mentioned a part that I want to address tonight, and that is that if we serve the Lord and honor Him and aren't in the forefront, that God sees that worship. Tonight, I felt burdened as I prepared this message for July the 25th to talk about the women. They have done so much for this assembly that you don't know about. Behind the scenes, we guys could never have got the things done that needed to be done. But they were there to help us. And I want to acknowledge that. And what I want to do tonight, first of all, is look at when man made male and female and the significance of that. How that there is a role for men and a role for women. And I want to just point out, I couldn't believe what a vast ministry you women have. There are many, many things that the Bible says that is the place you're made for and where you will function well. And we want to look at that. So first of all, I'm going to start off in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And here we have God making man. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." That is a very important passage of Scripture today. It says it like it is. First of all, I want to point out, God says he's going to make man in the singular. It's not, "I'm going to make a man and a woman." He says, "I'm going to make man singular." He puts them on both the same level. One isn't less important than the other. He made them male and female, but he made them man, singular. In his own image made he them. And he gave the divine decree to man. They're supposed to rule this earth. And they're supposed to be over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth and every creeping thing. And they're supposed to fill it, replenish the earth. And that is really important. The woman is not any less in God's sight, but she is different. She's not less, but she's different. And we see that in chapter 2, verse 27, another verse which we all know real well. It's not 27. That was chapter 1. And chapter 2, we have the story in more detail, how God created the man and the woman. We know the story. God created Adam, and he brought all the animals to Adam, and there was not found anybody who was suitable for a true companion for Adam. And so God says, I'm going to solve the problem. And he did. And it's interesting, the number of things that are different about the woman, though she's not any less, she's man, she's created in God's image, she's not any less, but things that are different. Adam was created. He needed a helper. And God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And out of Adam's side, he took part of Adam, a rib. And from that rib, he made the woman. And when Adam saw her, he said, this is amazing. This is part of me. And that's another foundational truth, that the woman is part of us. We could not navigate without them. Without the woman, we wouldn't last. We'd soon be done for. But God made her different. I want to stress that. When God made the woman and made man and woman for each other, God made the man and the woman different in their body. And he made the man and the woman different in their emotions. Their emotional makeup is different. But spiritually, they both can worship and appreciate and enjoy God on the same level. Again, I want to point out this, that because they're different, God did have a different role. A different role for the man, the role that fitted the man best with his makeup. And he had a role for the woman that fitted the woman best for his makeup in the divine purpose of ruling this earth and filling it. We know that man is the life giver of life. Ultimately, it's God. Yes, I recognize that. But man gives life. The woman takes what the man gives and conceives out of that a little baby, a life. And she carries that little life for quite some time before she delivers it. And that is key to being a mother. We men cannot be mothers. Only you women that are made for that, you have an emotional attachment to that, and you have an emotional sensitivity that we men don't have. So that is one of the areas. Yous are different, and we cannot, when we mess that up, there's trouble. It is not the same. I know that when our family grew up, and it's good to see half of them here. But anyway, many times Viola would come to me and say, I think the children need this. I thought it is going well. I was giving them food and clothing and making them listen, and what more do you want? No. there was a need for a mother's heart, a deep emotional attachment, something that makes decisions by emotions instead of logic. The man was made different in that sense. He can be mad as a hornet, and yet he can know that that's the right thing to do and do it. And he goes by logic more than by emotion. And that's why he's the leader. And the next thing we find, as they are the same, and we find it in Peter and other passages, I'm going to refer to some of this for time's sake, that the man and woman, the man is not to rule over the woman as though she's not part of him. I really believe, from my experience in life, that the marriage that is pleasing to God is when the man, husband or wife, sit down together, they discuss something, and together they figure out, this is what the Lord wants. It is the man's responsibility then to go up front, as it were, and to take the brunts and the hard parts of causing this to happen when they both have agreed this is God's will. The man leads out in making that happen. That is so important in a marriage, that you do it together, that the Lord is the triangle. You're here and some other here, and then the triangle and you together. If you start fighting this way, there's trouble. This one has as much authority as this one, and there's trouble. But if you together find out what God at the top, what's his will, and then have that happen. I want to talk about some of the places that God has given you as women. There is a lot. I couldn't believe it. I'll likely not get through it all, but I'll try and hurry. There are so many things that we need you to be active in and working in. And the first one, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5. And this passage talks about the widow. But here we find out what a God-pleasing life of a woman is. There's a whole bunch of things mentioned here that are very God-pleasing. And if this woman, 60 years old, has done these things in her life, God says you're to honor her as a godly woman, and the church, if there's no relatives, are to take care of her. So 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 5. Let's read verse 5 here. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. There's the first thing, women. Oh, the prayers and the things that have been accomplished by women praying. Praying mothers. I know a missionary who had an elder's wife pray for them. And he prayed a lot. Or she prayed a lot, I'm sorry. And and it was amazing what God was doing. The time came, and this dear praying warrior died. And their work quit like that. It just, people didn't get saved anymore. Assemblies didn't get started. It stopped. Oh, women and men praying together, one of your offices is prayer, as well as the men. We are responsible for that. But that is a ministry that the Lord wants you to do. And it's very clear. I'll just mention it here briefly. We all know the scriptures teach us clearly that in the church, the man is to lead. The woman is to be silent in the church, but the man is to lead. But she has many other places. But one thing is, she can pray in silence to the Lord, and all that has been accomplished through that. Now let's go to verse 10 of 1 Timothy 5:10. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought forth children, brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. There's a lot of work there, a lot of opportunity. Well reported of. What do the people say about your life? That is a good believer, a good woman. She is just always in good works and God honoring in that way, a godly life. And then care for her family. If she's brought up children, and that I'm going to touch on a bit later. And so I'm going to leave it for time's sake right now. Very important thing, bringing up a family. It's a lot of work. And then if she have lodged strangers, hospitality, how that's appreciated. I don't know totally what that means all. I presume what it is saying, that in those days, there were, well, a lot of believers were traveling. Christian workers were traveling and needed places to stay. And they opened their houses to these Christian workers. In 2 John, I think we read about it, that, and they take these in and think of Elisha and Elijah. There we have that. How these widows, one a widow and another not, but they made room and lodged them. And then washed the saints' feet, in humility served the believers in whatever way they could, help the believers. Also, there's a couple of things we learn about washing of feet. One is humility, yes. But one that is often forgotten, and Jesus brings it in kind of behind the scenes, and that is, he told the disciples they were washed, but their feet had gotten dirty. As believers, whether man or woman, if we see another believer that whose Christian life is lacking in an area, to point it out. And to help them walking a clean life, helping believers walk a clean life, relieving the afflicted, helpful to those in need. If someone's around and in need, and you have time and energy and ability to reach out and help them and be a witness to them in that way. And then he answered with, and diligently followed every good work. That's a lot of area for you to work in. I think you have to be led of the Lord. We can't do everything. But if the Lord lays something on your heart and you feel that I could do this and it would be a good thing and it'd help the Lord's work or whatever, as he gives opportunity to get involved and to be willing to yield yourself to what the Lord has. And then in verse 13, we have a bunch of don'ts. And it talks about if you take younger women and if they all of a sudden change their mind and want to get married, and that it says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. There's a danger given in Scripture to you women, that you, like men, you can become lazy. What does the Lord want you to do? You need to be yielded to Him, but become lazy and have time on your hands, and you start gossiping, talking around things that should not be spread. And that is a real hindrance to God's work. So that's a warning. Verse 13 is a warning. In verse 14, he opens the door wide open again to you as to what God has for you. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I know earlier Paul says that he doesn't encourage the young women to marry because of the circumstances. But in a normal circumstance, that's really God's plan for you from the start, to find a godly partner and together serve Him. And that door is wide open. God's got to lead you in that. I mean, you have to be yielded to Him in that, but there's nothing wrong with that. And their place is the home, to guide the home. Together, the husband and the wife decide what's right, what's God's will. And the husband is gone many times, and you're alone with those children. And God, and you are to guide that home and to keep it in order. And I tell you, I don't think we men can do that. You're built for that. We're not. To keep a little characters busy and out of trouble, you've got to multitask. And we don't have that. That's a big job. God's given you a body and emotions to do that. But he doesn't stop there. He really piles it on now. And we men need to support the women in this. God told us men to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We can't do that. That's the work of God in our hearts. This here next thing that's mentioned is the same. For you to do this, it's going to take God's help. It's going to take teamwork. And that's the last part of verse 14, that you're supposed to guide and bring up that home and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. That's huge. Little children that need to be taught and do things and get into all kinds of stuff, to be on top of it and to have it your family so that people say that's a godly family. They honor the Lord. What a challenge. And as I say, we men need to support them in this. You have a huge job. In your hands, in a sense, is the country's future. What those children raise up to be and fill the responsibilities of the country in the next generation is how that country's going to be. A huge job. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And there are some things here. Again, I want to point out, verse 1 to 8 talks about the men and their place, their role that God has for them. Then verse 9 to 15, it talks to the women, how they are to present themselves in dress and in action. and her place and why she is there. It's because Adam was first formed, and she was made from Adam and made as a helpmeet. And also, the woman was deceived when Satan came. She let her emotions make the decision. The man was logic, and he said, this is wrong. But you know what? He was no better. He went and did it anyway. So I'm not sure which gives more hope. There really isn't hope in us. We need the Lord. And then it says here in verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and soberity. Here again is a bunch of information as to what God wants from you as women. Childbearing. Yep. We wouldn't be here if that wouldn't be. That's just as important as a man. We are one in God's plan, his divine plan. There's just as great importance in that for the life to go on. We need you. But there's something else here I want to point out. Over 2,000 years ago, God, through a woman, brought a man-child that was perfect. And oh, how that affects every one of us. It is through the woman the Savior came, that we have hope. And what an important job you women had in that. We would be so helpless and so hopeless without that. Thank God for you and the place he's given you. And then I'll mention Luke chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. There it talks about a number of women that were following the Lord. And God had cast out evil spirits out of Mary Magdalene. And these other women were so moved by what the Lord did for them that they ministered unto him of their substance. They were there to support the Lord's work. And they ministered to it. And so that's just an interesting little verse there, how precious that was to the Lord Jesus for him to carry on his work. It wasn't up front. It was behind the scenes. But it was a thing that allowed Jesus to carry on his work. And I believe they'll receive rewards for that someday. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. Here's an interesting chapter again about the place of women and the work that God has for them. And I'm just going to mention the names here for time's sake. We have Phoebe. She is a servant to the church. And here's one place. There's so much misunderstanding about deacons. This word is deacon, but she is not in a leadership place. She is there to help the saints, and she is a succorer of many and of Paul. That word succorer, really, the meaning of it is to stand up before or to practice. It's the idea of a lawyer. The feeling is here from Bible scholars, from that word and what's said about her, that she must have been some kind of a government official that stood up for Paul and other believers when they got in trouble with the law. I'm just injecting that, but it would seem that from that word. Then we have Aquila and Priscilla. They are helpers in Christ Jesus. and they laid down their own necks for my life, and the church is in their house. Again, a lot that women can do in that verse. Just be helpers in Christ Jesus and available to encourage his work and support it. Mary, in verse 6, that was verse 3, and in verse 6, Mary bestowed much labor on them. Here is someone who bestowed much labor on Paul and his folk. Again, behind the scenes, but so important, and it will be rewarded. Tryphena, and this is verse 12, Tryphosa, their feminine names, labor in the Lord. They're just there and working. And then I want to go to close off to Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5, point out a few things there. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. For we ourselves also were sometimes... No, Titus... Oh, I'm in 3. Let me get back here. Okay. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Again, a behavior that people say that person's godly. And that applies to us as men too. And not false accusers. Oh, how we all have to work with our mouths to keep them closed when we should. And not given to much wine. Not captive by wine, by alcohol. And then it says, teachers of good things. And the next verses, being my time's out, I'm going to just mention them. You can read them yourselves. But it says, women are to be teachers of the younger women here, in verse 4. And I want to point that out to you women and to you men. There's a very important truth here. Girls, if you have something, go to your dad and mom or go to another older sister. It is not the man's place to go and counsel a single young girl. That is the women's place. You older women have that responsibility. We guys need to go to the guys. It is not scriptural that we go and counsel younger women. That's not good. And then the rest of this, he says six or eight things that you older women are supposed to teach the younger women. And for time's sake, I'm just going to mention them. But each one of these is a sermon in itself. First of all, to be sober-minded. Every second that passes is engraven in stone in eternity. Life is serious. We'll never get the second past that's past to change it. And to remind them life goes on and to be serious about life. I want it to count for God. I want him to take control of my life and to make out of it what he wants. It's not a laugh, a big joke, and do what you want. It's serious. God wants us to make it count. Next, love their husbands. No, we don't always deserve to be loved. But there are times both husband and wife need grace, and we have to let love overrule. Simply love and give regardless if we don't get anything. The young women, there's so much hatred in this world in marriages, but the older women are to teach the younger ones to love their husbands. The next one is to love their children. I, having raised a family, am thoroughly convinced the Bible's right. When there are children at home, mom needs to be at home. The children need to feel that security and that mother love. They need that. And it can be, it's what, 10, 12, 13 years. And then it's different if there's no children or if they're older and they can navigate their life. A woman can take a job if she wants to. But when there's young children, the love of the mother needs to be there for them. That security. And you older women are to teach them that. The fourth thing is to be discreet. The idea is common sense and decency. You know, just a lot of things in life that, you know, it would be a lot better if this would happen or whatever. Again, you older women are to teach them some common sense. And for that, it's because you've come through life. You've learned some lessons. You've learned that being indiscreet in this place can lead to certain places that aren't good. And so you are to teach the younger women to be discreet. Common sense and decency, moderate. Then five, you're to teach them chastity. And I think a lot of that is referring to the opposite sex. You older women that are married understand us men a lot better than the younger ones do. And they need guidance. They need guidance by you as older women that, no, that's not good. But that they know how to be amongst the opposite sex and be there with no problems and not causing any wrong thoughts or whatever, but in honoring to the Lord. And I know one dating book we had, this person said that she was really good. It was a lady. She said, dating starts when you go to young people's. That's where you learn how the opposite sex reacts and you prepare for the future. Dating isn't necessarily with just one person. It's when you are with a group of people. You can learn an awful lot there. And you older women are to teach them chastity, decent dress, decent actions, and gestures toward the opposite sex so that the Lord, their lives will be clean and the opposite sex won't be tempted and wrong thoughts. Then six, they are to be keepers of the home. The word literally means stay at home and meet the needs of the children. Seven, they're to be good. Again, that people just say, boy, that is a good person. I just really appreciate that person. Their life is just, it's just good. What a challenge. These are, I'm not saying that we men don't have some of these either, but these are directly given to the older ladies to teach the younger women. And as I said, each one of them is a sermon in itself. The last one, obedient to their husbands. And again, I stress, husbands, that doesn't mean you're the boss. God is. And you together pray and find God's will. And then you as the husband are responsible to take the lead and to make that happen, to take the bumps, to take the abuse if there is some. And the wife is responsible to be obedient to that and help him along for it to happen. We do appreciate you a lot. So many, this seating plan was made by Diane and by, not Dorothy, but Betty. Betty. And how often Ari is there and Joy is taking care of the children that Ari can figure out the technical problems when there's no voice. And Sharon here cleans the chapel. And I can go on. There was some need of some people for food. And some of you ladies joined together and made sure that food was given. These are tremendous mission fields for you, places you can work. And God has made you different for that role. And he's made us men different for our role that the Bible teaches. And may these words encourage all of us as husbands or as men. May we be aware of this and encourage the women in these areas and know where we each belong so that we will fulfill the divine decree that he has given us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we bow before you. We're humbled at your greatness, your wisdom, your power, and most of all, your love and your grace to mankind. We thank you for the wonder of man and woman and how you've made them so perfectly for their place, each one, and how together we can glorify and exalt you. We just thank you for it. I pray for the women that you would encourage their hearts as they're often in the background, but that you would give encouragements to them and that you would guide them into the work that you have for them and into their future, especially the young ladies. We do thank you for them, and may you guide them and help them know where they stand. And for the aged women, that they'd be open and ready to teach the younger women these things that are in your word, so that your name will be glorified and the enemy might not have a place to get in and cause problems. So we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Did you want to come up again? Or? No. Okay. You are dismissed. Please remember the social distance. The Lord